certainly from 2003 to current times, it has just skyrocketed as far as the growth of the unfunded liability. And certainly in the last few years, we have made the full pension payment, which has ramped up quite a bit, and then that's put the squeeze on the rest of the state budget. But it has just grown, and I believe the estimate is that it's about $17 million a day growing in the unfunded liability aspect. I think at this point, most everyone would agree it is going to be insolvent and unsustainable for the long term, and that's got to be our goal, is to make it solvent and sustainable. And then with that, we get a stable fiscal outlook for the state, which will allow us to grow and move forward.
I know a lot of people are watching the outcome, or the eventual outcome of this pension committee itself. At the same time, this issue has been negotiated and discussed for really many months and actually many years. Do you have any type of belief that this approach will, you know, result in some type of an agreement when other approaches have failed?
Well, certainly when I look back to Senate Bill 512 was brought forward maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago, met with a lot of opposition. And now if we could move backwards, everybody would embrace it, I believe, because it only affected current employees and asked them to go into a 401k plan like, you know, many in the private sector. And it did not have to, you know, actuarially it looked like it would have been a way to get us on better footing and not go into the current retirees, or, you know, go into the, it was only affecting current employees, not retirees. So there was a lot of opposition, and so we stepped back and said, well, let's vet this more, bring everybody to the table. Well, now 3 or 4 years later, as I said, this thing has grown astronomically, and it just is so much harder to harness, because we have the constitutional requirements that are in place, and to try to get some kind of resolution to fix structurally the pension problems within the constitutional confines is a huge challenge.
Now, you voted for a plan that the House Speaker put forward, supported that. Can you talk about why you supported that idea, and do you still support it from everything else that you've seen and other proposals that are out there?
Well, I supported that one because, one, it recognized that most state pensions are not large salary amounts. And it allowed those smaller pensions to pretty much remain intact. If you were like at $32,000 as a annuitant amount, and then it would allow some modest growth each year if you fell within that category. Because, you know, I think the public's perception, if you do a 3% compounded COLA every year, you can see that if you're making $100,000 as an annuity on a state pension, I mean, obviously it grows quite a bit with that 3% compounded COLA. I mean, it's just, and so, you know, to try to cap and harness the larger end of the salaries or whatever, you know, annuitants is what I'm trying to say, then that would be more fair. And I would have supported the other plan, the President Cullerton's plan as well, but it never was called on the House floor. And that's, you know, certainly within Speaker Madigan's total control. The problem with that plan, in my estimation, and why I favored one over the other, was that structurally it didn't help the annual pension payment. It didn't bring that amount down enough, and the cost savings wasn't large enough to really get us in a better footing to address the $100 billion in unfunded liability.
Well, you mentioned a moment ago the constitutional confines. And of course, the state constitution, for those that don't know, and I'm paraphrasing, basically says that retirement benefits for state workers cannot be impaired. Is there any middle ground between, say, the two plans that you see, where you could do something that's constitutional but save a bit more money than what President Cullerton had discussed earlier?
There might be. I applaud the State University Annuitants for coming forward with a plan that was kind of thrown out there last week, and I've got those summary sheets sent to me from our staff to review them, and because it brings different components. I mean, there's a whole lot of components to the pension that might address a better end result, and so I want to study that. I mean, I think that the more we offer ideas, the better. And certainly the Constitution was the reason that a lot of people dug their heels in several years ago and said, no, you can't do this. However, we're looking at other cities that can't meet their obligations. I mean, it truly can become insolvent. And that would be the greatest disgrace we've done, is to ignore this problem and let the systems fail, so that those that depend on them don't have anything. I mean, that would be horrific. And so it's not fun to talk about it. It's horrible to ask people to live under these stressful conditions where they don't know what their retirement's going to be. And to change some of the things that they thought they could count on is just very troubling. I mean, no one enjoys that. But I think that the worst result will be to let it fail.
I know you haven't met yet. You're going to meet on Thursday for the first time as a conference committee, but Governor Pat Quinn has already asked for lawmakers to come up with some solution pretty much in early July, July 9th, he had said. Is there any way you see this being worked out by that time, or is this a long-term process to try to come up to some resolution?
I hope it's not. I mean, this thing was studied all last summer, and that's where we got Senate Bill 1, was a result of those hearings and all that. It's a very complicated formula, and you have to get an actuarial analysis of any plan, and that would be the one thing is that once we hammer something out that looks like it's acceptable, we have to see if it structurally gets us to the end result that we need to be. And so I don't know. You know, it does take a few weeks to get that. If all that can fall into place, certainly we could meet the deadline. But, you know, that is a factor we have to take into account that we, you know. So, you know, I appreciate the governor trying to shorten the process as much as possible. He reached out and called me personally last Friday. And I said, I certainly hope that he would be engaged in throwing out ideas as to what's acceptable, because in the end, I mean, this is a last-ditch effort. It's an old-school format, this conference committee thing, that was used quite a bit in the past when you had a logger jam between your House and the Senate. We just really have a huge task that we have to get done. I mean, that's it, as everybody in Illinois is counting on us. So we have to come up with something, and I think we will.
Does the governor need to get more involved in this? Because I know he has been criticized a bit by people who say he's, you know, talking from the sidelines a bit, not getting as involved as he should to try to mediate some type of agreement.
I think everybody has to give us some direction as to what is acceptable. Because like I say, the logjam is that we have to have one bill that passes both the House and the Senate and then is signed by the governor. So it does. I mean, we have to be equal partners in coming up with a solution. You know, a lot of people say, well, I paid my part and all that, and I understand. I mean, it doesn't help us to try to figure out, well, history is good to learn from. You can't repeat the same mistakes. But to dwell on, you know, who and blame, it isn't allowing us to move forward, but just we need to learn from past mistakes. But I believe if you look at the unfunded liability, you'd see that 60% of it was caused by the state not meeting its full obligation each year. But then we also have life expectancy has increased, and that's a good thing. And then also there's been a lot of enhancements to the pension system that has that wasn't actuarially calculated properly. And so some people have said, well, changing the ramp is something we need to do, you know, to the projections of and the amount of the unfunded liability. And I just think if we try to do that, we've seen that anytime you give us an inch, we'll take a mile and not living up to what we need to do. I mean, that's just the nature of state government, unfortunately. And so I think we have to stick within that and get that fixed.